Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
So many of you have told me that you find dating apps exhausting, confusing, and overwhelming. Since I haven't used them myself in over a decade, I brought in some experts. Today, I'll be interviewing Allie Jackson and Erica Spira, who will share their best dating app advice, so stay tuned. Welcome back to the podcast. So years ago, I was a guest on the Finding Mr. Height podcast. I love that name, so cute, with Allie Jackson and Erica Spira. And I found their practical dating advice brilliant and really aligned with the way I teach others to approach relationships. So when I was thinking of how to approach this episode, I knew I had to interview them and get all their thoughts and best practices. And anyone who's been listening to me for a while knows I rarely have guests on the podcast. And that's because I really like to dig deep, do my own work. I read all the experts, and then I sort of bring everything down, the best information, into something. Well, for this one, I thought, you know, let me just interview people. Let me get that out. And if this doesn't bring you all you love and all you want to know, then I am happy to do more episodes on this topic. So you let me know in the comments if you'd like to hear more or have something different or maybe even interview someone different. So Allie Jackson is a New York City-based dating and relationship coach who's been there in the trenches looking for her person. She's learned to own her needs, embrace her feelings, and communicate both directly. And she's helping you do the same, because when you ask for what you want, you just might get it. Her partner in crime, Erica Spira, is a New York City-based stand-up comedian. She's been on The Late Late Show with James Corden and was one of TBS's Comics to Watch. Along with co-hosting Finding Mr. Height, she also hosts the Shooters Gotta Shoot podcast, which is all about dating and relationships. We'll have all the ways you can follow these two wonderful women on the show notes page on my website, as well as below the video if you're watching on YouTube. So without further ado, let's get to the interview. I'm Dr. Abby Metcalf, and I'm a practicing psychologist, number one Amazon best-selling author, TEDx speaker, and all-around relationship maven with over 35 years of experience helping people just like you. Join me as I teach you actionable tips and strategies to create connection, joy, and ease in all your relationships. So let's get to it. Everybody, welcome back to the podcast. I'm excited every week when I do this, even when it's just little old me, but I'm really excited now because I have two incredible women on the show. I was on their podcast years ago, and we'll link to all that in the show notes, as you know, but I have been getting so many questions from all of you from all around the world about dating apps. apps. And so definitely this will be a lot about what's happening here in the United States. So for my listeners overseas, et cetera, but we're going to be giving you the best dating app advice. And that's going to transcend culture because relationships are relationships. So there's some things I'm sure that won't fit for where you are in the world, but most of it, I believe, will. And so welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited, Allie and Erica. Do you just want to, I don't know, just say hi and let us know how you got to this together?
Yeah, totally. Ari, you want to start?
Sure. Hi, I'm Erica. This is my voice. And I'll throw it back to Allie so you hear her voice.
On YouTube.
Oh, and see us. Sorry.
Yeah, please do on YouTube. Okay, go.
Yeah, and I'm Allie. So you know what my voice sounds like. Hello.
Yes. And so Allie and I actually met through the podcast world.
Oh,
so we had separate podcasts. Yeah. And both of our co-hosts left. And essentially, we decided to join forces on Find Mr. Hype. So that's kind of how we came to be as official co-hosts. And yeah, so I mean, we're excited to talk about this. You actually were just telling us about your story that you met someone online before the online apps, kind of in the personal
online, online catalog.
Yeah.
Catalog man. So funny. Which I've never shared with anybody out there, but my first husband, who's amazing and incredible man, I met with an ad in the back of a paper because I'd moved from New York to California. I didn't know anybody and I'm clean and sober. Don't go to bars, you know? So it was like, how do you meet people? And this is way back in the 90s. So this is before everything. And I met and married a fabulous man. And my current hubby, Gary, is also through a dating app. So I think I never thought of this, but I'm like the poster girl for you can meet very good people and have long-term amazing relationships. So yeah, we were just talking about it. So now people know a little extra about me, but yeah.
You got to tell them your tagline. Your tagline.
Yes. Tell them your tagline and your personal
app. My tagline on the article when I had it in the paper, and my best gay wrote it for me, Jimmy. He wrote it was babe with brains because I was young and hot then. And that's what it was, babe with brains. So, you know, he wrote just a beautiful thing. I think that's we should talk about that first. I think that's one of the harder things to do is to write your profile, because I remember, you know, we didn't have profiles necessarily back then, but it was, you know, and I used that, by the way, I still had the ad. So I used it, you know, a decade ago when I met Gary, I used it again. I changed a couple little things, but I pretty much said I wanted a man who liked who he was and liked what he did. So I didn't care what you did. I didn't care what your thing was, but I needed you to feel proud of it and love it. And so
passionate. Oh yeah.
Have some passion.
Yeah, it's a hot word. Passionate.
There you go.
Have to have passion.
Yes.
What are you passionate about? That's what everybody wants. I feel like men and women.
It's so true.
So I am wondering, so how do you start that? Like the dating, because, so like I said, I had a best friend write it because I was sort of nervous how to describe myself. And I think that would be helpful right away. How do you set up a profile that works? You know, what are the key components?
I think a lot of people struggle to talk about themselves. Like that's a key thing that Erica and I see when people write into the pod, and something we talk about ourselves because we're both actively dating. And that's something that we talk about on our pod. And I think one of my very first pieces of advice is that most bios that I see are way too vague. And I think that comes from the place of people don't know what to say. Mm-hmm. They're like, well, there's so much about me. Like I'm a whole person. I like this. I like that. I like this. I like that. And therefore they end up with a bio that's like, I like the beach and wine. And it's like, okay, sure. Like what? So does literally everyone.
Everyone.
Yeah. And so it's like in trying to say everything, they end up saying kind of nothing.
Oh, it's so good. So what do you recommend for that?
Get specific.
Well, I was going to.
Yeah, go ahead.
Or what's interesting is there's so many things that are true about you that I feel like a lot of times our instincts will actually be to go negative, which is also, I think, bad, where they'll be like, okay, I can't really tell you everything I love, but I could tell you the five things I hate. And nobody wants to, you know, look at a profile and feel this like negativity, especially if it's things that are directed at other people.
Oh,
like you need to be X, Y, Z. And a common one we hear from women, and our podcast is called Find Mr. Hype, so go figure, is men will be like, yeah, women write on their profile all the time, like, no one under this height. And it's like, okay, you can swipe and filter that yourself. You do not need to be saying that out into the world and essentially kind of attacking people with those words. You know, it's like, that's not positive. Even someone taller than that height is probably like, oh, okay, calm down. You know,
also when people put negative things, like we'll see a lot of stuff about honesty or like looking for somebody who won't lie to me, looking for someone who'll be honest. It's like,
oh,
I doubt that a liar is going to see that and go, oh, she wants an honest person. That's not me. I should say no. Like, that's not helping you. That's not filtering anyone out.
That is so good. You know, I say a lot, you can't build a love relationship on fear. And so I ever, fear has no place in a love relationship, none. So this idea, if you go in with this mindset of, I don't want to get taken advantage of, I've been cheated on before, I don't want that again. You know, men have lied to me or whatever in the past. I do have, I have about 75% women, female listeners out there, but I know you men are out there too. But either way, so that's so interesting. I didn't think of it though in those terms, right? So when you're writing your profile, you have to think about what you do want, and I say this all the time, not what you don't want.
Right. What you do want and who you are, not what you're not.
Oh, it's so good. You know, and when you think about business, we say the riches are in the niches. And I think like you're supposed to really niche down in a business to really, right? If I have cancer, I don't go to my general practitioner, right? I want to go to an oncologist. You know, I want to go to a specialist. And so it's so interesting. I think dating in a way is the same way. You want to really get clear on who you are and not be worried about, you know, who might not be attracted, because that's fine. It's just as important who you quote unquote like repel as who you attract, right?
Totally.
I love that. Okay.
A lot of times I feel like your brain starts with vague because it's easiest.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, take your vague bullet points and just make it a little bit more specific. So like the wine, I love wine and whatever. Give me a specific wine. Give me something a little bit to talk about. And that's why I feel like sometimes some people like dating apps specifically that are more prompt questions as opposed to like the blank bio. Even me, I think the blank bio is way more intimidating, where it's just like, about me, you have three sentences and it's like, oh my God, I feel like I'm racing against the clock. Yeah.
Do I like anything? Do I have hobbies?
Yeah, exactly.
So do you suggest maybe having someone else write it like I did? It didn't occur to me that was.
I think it's a great idea. I mean, I even know people using AI that's like, here's a couple bullet points to AI. They draft you the first draft, and then you can make it a little more your personality from there. Because sometimes it just helps to have an extra set of eyes.
Oh, I love
that. One of the things that I do, as part of my dating coaching business, I do profile reviews and I help people write profiles. But something that I always have them do is find three people from their target demographic. So those people don't have to be single, but like, let's say I'm trying to date men in their 30s and 40s. Find three men in their 30s and 40s. They could be your friends' husbands. They could be your friend, you know, whatever. And ask them, tell me some stuff about me. And then you can use that. So you don't have to say to them, like, I want you to write me a bio. Because a lot of times people will be like, oh, I'm not going to be good at that. Like, I don't know how to write bios. But just tell them, like, can you send me some stuff you like about me? Things you think are cool that I do, stuff that you think I'm interested in, and then go from there.
Oh, so good. Dating gold. I love it already. Okay. So what else should be, do you think? So that's good. Any other rules for the bio and for the pictures? So I want to go both places, but.
My top would be variety. Sorry.
No, yeah, I agree.
Because I'm like, hey, I think it's cool that you're into hiking. If every picture is you hiking and every answer is about you hiking and being outside, I'm like, okay, well, if I don't love that one thing, I guess we're not going to work out.
Uh-huh.
Right? Because people, you know, some people are fussy. They'd look at your profile, see one line about hiking and go, oh, not a match. I think people that are really looking for actual connections aren't going to write off one thing that they don't have in common. I think they more look at it with that passion lens. Like, okay, clearly you're passionate about hiking the outdoors, but I sit there and think, well, what else is there? Or what else could I talk to you about if that isn't something I'm interested in? So that's my number one. It's just like a variety of your pictures, doing different things, different settings, and different type of answers. So
I love
Allie,
it.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I cut you off. What'd you have?
No, I totally agree with you on the variety thing. I think like with the photos, I like to think about it as photos in a few different camps. So some photos that show your face, like, this is what I look like. Like, headshot, not an actual headshot.
Yeah, yeah.
Do not put a professional headshot on your dating app profile. But like that kind of zoom, you know what I mean? So that's like full face, some that are your whole body. So it's like, okay, here's a, you know, an idea of what I look like in the world. And then things of you doing things, whether that's like Erica said, hiking, or, you know, if you like wine, maybe it's like you at a winery or you traveling because you like to travel. And I like pictures with friends as long as they are showing something about you. So like if it's just you and a group of people at a dinner table smiling, then I'm like, eh, do we need this picture? Right. But I would love, like, I have a picture of me and my volleyball team. So like, this is what it would be like to be in my life. I would be doing this a lot. Like things that illustrate what it would be like to be in your life.
Oh, oh my gosh. That's so good. I love this. So, and I think that piece about, like, to me, this is all part of how to screen also, like how you're screening people. Because I always say, you know, I think a lot of couples look for things in common as far as activities. And I will tell you right now, Gary and I have very little in common as far as activities. He is like, by the way, he's 6'4". I did find a height.
There you go.
But I know, I did good. But I mean, he, and my listeners know, he's like, does Spartan races and did triathlons for years. He's like Mr. Fitness. You know, I kind of get up to get to the refrigerator as much as I can. Like there's not, there's so, he used to hike. Like if he had a person, if his person hiked, he'd be hiking with me, but I don't. So we have some, but I think what happens, you know, when I make a list of my dream man, and I think everyone should do this, and I want to ask you about this, like not, but not looks, you know, not he's this tall or she's this tiny or weighs this, but more like, to me, it's things like he always has my back. You know, when we disagree, we fight fair. When I feel cherished, I feel his eyes are on me the second I'm in the room. Like, these are things.
Oh, I love that one.
Mm-hmm. It's a good one, right? And he does. Yeah. I must say, Gary really is so good at that. Like if he's talking to someone at a party and I come in later, he's just locked on me. He looks at me like I'm magic half the time. And it's just like, oh my gosh. And when you're older and date, I know we put our fingers.
My video got so excited that it threw a thumbs up.
We had a thumbs up if you're watching on YouTube. You know, I think that when you date older too, it's different. We can talk about that, but I think you kind of know if you've already been married and you're, you know, really what you're, what's important, so to speak. But I know that if I had just been screening, you know, with triathlons, I never, ever would have stopped in a million years if I thought that that was the only thing. And he didn't have it in his, like the woman I'm looking for runs marathons, you know? And so I do wonder, what do you think about that? Like having, I just wonder if people aren't really clear what they truly want or truly need. No, need is better. Truly need to feel cherished, safe, secure. And so they're a little confused when they're looking and you end up relying on looks or activities or things like that. Do you think that that's true or am I way off?
No, I think one of the issues is that I do think it's really important to get clear on what you are looking for in all those senses, right? Somebody who makes you feel cherished, somebody, you know, all that stuff. You will not know that on a dating app profile. Right. Like you just aren't going to know if that person is going to provide you with emotional support and, you know, do all these things. Like you're just not. And so I think that lowering the bar a little bit and being a little bit more open. So like, I love that you weren't saying, you know, oh, I need somebody who's doing all the things that I'm doing, because that's not the bar. But I think when we try to make it that I'm looking for a profile that tells me that this person is going to cherish me,
right?
Like you're just not going to find that.
Not going to find it. Yeah. That makes really good sense. Well,
I think you touched on a great point about like, I think overall, most people in their life want support for the things that they love and like to do and not necessarily that you do that with them. Sometimes that is the case. I've seen people write, you know, sorry to keep using hiking as an example, but I see it a lot. And I've seen people write like, I want someone that wants to like go on camping, outdoor trips, blah, blah, blah with me. And that's valid if you want that. When I see that, that's when I go, okay, I might not be the person for you. Yeah. But like the triathlon thing, it's like, oh, I'm not saying I want you to run a triathlon with me. But once you are invested in my life and we're having a relationship together, I would love that you came and supported me and cheered me on and watched me.
Yep.
But that's also something you go, man, if someone asked me on like a first or second date to come to their triathlon, I'd be like, fuck no. That's
absolutely
we don't know each other yet. You know what I mean? Like, it's all something we got to build. We got to build that support. Obviously, I'm ride or die when I'm with somebody. But like, first couple of dates, let's just get to know each other on, you know, a personal level and see if we have values that align.
Yeah. So that's really it, I think. Right. The values. Because that is somewhere I was aligned with my ex and my current, like, values. Those aligned. And that, I think, because the rest you can figure out, I think.
I think so.
Yeah, well, you know, what are the big relationship deal breakers, would you say, that you feel like you've come across in your line of work?
Well, the big problem is that the big relationship deal breaker is that people compete with each other. That's what underlies poor communication. That's like the cancer that eats at a relationship. You know, oh, you went out with your friends on Friday, so I'm going to go out with my friends on Saturday, or you spent money on this, now I'm going to spend money on this. There's a lot of keeping score. It's like a competition. And so not competition, and even sometimes not being happy for the other person, if it means less time with you, there, I'm telling you, that's the problem. Because it's like you're on opposite teams. And obviously, then I don't want you to win. Because I'm over here. So I want to win if we're on opposite teams. That's what I find. And people always come and say, it's communication. We don't communicate. And I'm like, that is on top of the problem. That's like the fever, not the cancer. And the cancer is this sort of thing you have about keeping score. You know, he's not doing as much as me. Or he, you know, one of the things, Allie, I was noticing, like, people, I see people ask you questions. And by the way, I'll link to all of everybody's stuff here, but Allie will answer questions on IG, or I'm assuming TikTok too. You know, that you just sort of have. And I always read, and, you know, someone will say, like, oh, I'm always the one instigating. Isn't that bad? And, you know, Allie, I love your answers are always like, well, is it bad for you? Like, what do you want? If it's not good or bad, it's just whatever you need or you want in the relationship, right? Can you just talk more about that?
Yeah, well, that's where I think what Erica said about values aligning comes in, because there's also like the type of relationship that you want can be a type of value. And like, what kind of communication do you want? What kind of structure do you want? Do you want somebody like, you know, a lot of our listeners will talk about how they want guys who are planning dates all the time and are the ones that are driving things and being the first to communicate. And if that's the dynamic that you want, then okay, like go for that. But if you are looking for something that is more 50-50 in a relationship in terms of communication, it makes sense to me to do that in early dating too. But there isn't one right answer. So it's not like this is the right way.
That's the hardest thing for people to get, I think.
It would be easier if there were one right answer. It would be so much easier if we could be like, do this and then everything will be fine.
Erica, is that for you too? Like, do you find it that people are looking for like the one right way to do this?
Yes and no, because I feel like all of us kind of make our own set of rules based on our own experiences. So I am naturally like that more planner type personality. I've always been that person in like my group of friends, my family, like I'm almost like a would rather be in charge. But with dating, then I would end up seeing men that it's like, well, it's very easy for them to see me if I'm the one doing all the legwork.
Right.
So I feel like there's truth in both, where it's like, okay, I don't mind if like picking the restaurant is up to me, but I also sit there and go, if I don't hear from you for a few days after we've been on a few dates, I take that as a clear sign that you aren't very interested. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so
it's like,
I love
there
that.
Is value in the communication part, like we say, where it's like, are you trying to see me? Do you care at all if you see me or not? And when you have people that are interested in you, I feel like that's like number one basic level is hearing from them, trying to get together, trying to make things work to get some type of like quality time, even if it's a phone call. I've had guys that were like, hey, I'm out of town, but like, can I call you later? Great. Let's chat.
Perfect.
You know?
Oh, I love it. Oh, yeah. You know, there's something there, I think, that's such a fine line between, like, I think that's when you really have to check in with yourself. Like, do I want him to make the, you know, to plan the date because I'm insecure and I need someone to show they love me all the time? Or am I really listening to my intuition about how interested this person is in me, period? Because some people are planners and some people aren't. And right. But I think there's other ways to gauge interest. And I think that's what you were both saying before about being more open, that like maybe he doesn't show it or she doesn't show it this way, but what about this? Like, can you be open to seeing other ways they're showing their interest? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Or it's like, it's like give people a chance to show up for you. And sometimes you have to communicate how you want them to show up. Cause I've, you know, had times I was dating someone, whether it was early or later, that maybe I was super busy with work that day and they're like, hey, what do you want to do tomorrow? And I've just thrown it back to them and been like, I'm down for whatever. To be honest, I'm kind of slam. So let me know where you want to go. I could meet, be there by this time. And you know, that's it. Like it can be a push pull. It's not a kind of one way or the other.
Yeah.
I think as a whole, but you have to communicate what your wants and needs are. And the answer is more, are they going to meet them?
Yeah. I think that happens with communication type too, because there are some people who want to be texting all the time with the person that they're dating and going back and forth all day or all the time. And other people just are not into that regardless of their interest level with somebody. And so like, I remember I had this one boyfriend years ago who like quite literally hated texting. Like I met his mom and she was like, I cannot get a text back from him to save my life. But he would talk on the phone or FaceTime for hours. And like, that's just how he preferred to connect. And he preferred to use text messages as like information. Like I will be there in at 7:30 or I am running 5 minutes late. Like he used text that way and not for connection.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that we kind of had to meet in the middle on a little bit to say like, okay, I really like texting and I would like to hear from you a little more, but we could talk on the phone for our like big conversations to keep connected.
Oh, it's great. See, in my day, we didn't have texting. It was a little easier. it's like one less thing you had to worry about. Barely had email. I've come through all of it. So, and this is something I get asked a lot. So I'm going to ask both of you. I get asked a lot things like, how long should we text? How long is too long of texting? I also notice sometimes I'll even have clients say to me, oh, we've been talking for a while. And then I find out they're not talking.
They've never met.
Only texting. And I, because so to me, that means a very different thing. And again, my age shows. But anyway, I'm going to throw that out to both of you. Like, how do you know?
I have a hard rule. I got a hard rule on this.
But it's still unconfirmed what talking means. Like, people use we're talking to meet. Literally, it could be anything from we just matched 10 minutes ago to like we had sex last night. Like, there's so many different definitions of talking. Wow. Generally speaking, though, before you've been on a date with someone, I really don't like to talk, text, whatever. I don't like to communicate with somebody that much. I pretty much like to say, okay, I saw your profile and I liked that. You saw my profile and you liked that. We went back and forth a little bit to confirm that we're both like real humans who can have a conversation. Let's get on the date because so much can be different in person.
Love it. I love it. And Erica, yours? What's your rule?
My rule is talking means nothing. It means so absolutely nothing.
Yep.
And we'll put so much emphasis on that and value on it. And it's like, this is not a relationship by any means, not even close. And no guarantee that it's even going anywhere. I'll say that. So I agree with Allie where like the talking doesn't need to be a lot. I myself have done like phone call screening before an online date to save myself time and see if there is more of that connection and vibe. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's also just a literal time crunch situation. That's like, well, I can't meet up tonight for an hour, but like you want to talk 20 minutes, see if we feel like a fit. And sometimes it'll get me more excited to actually meet them in person than I was before. Right. But even that, it's like, it doesn't count for anything. And if people are dragging their feet on giving you more, like literally meeting you in person, and I don't even care if it's long distance. No, it means nothing. We put a lot of stock in it. And at the end of the day, it means nothing. That's like the laziest way to communicate and show effort. So
yeah, it's like people just kind of stringing you along. And the thing that can happen, we talk about this a lot on the pod too, in terms of like the difference on our podcast and the time between talking to somebody and meeting up, you can build up this whole idea in your head of what this person is like and what your date's going to be like. The analogy that we've used before is like, it's like when you read a book and you really love the book and then you go to see the movie and the movie's not objectively bad. Other people like this movie, but you're like, it wasn't what I pictured. The characters didn't look the same as I thought. Their voices sounded different. I didn't like it.
Yep.
But it's not the movie's fault. It's just that it didn't match the book. And that I feel like has happened to me when I've been talking to this guy and I'm like, oh, our banter's so good. I just know he's going to be like this. And then it is not.
Oh, and this is when I think people get burnout from dating. Because it is so much effort. You know, my wife, my best friend is dating and, you know, going on the apps. And we talk about this because there's like flurries of activity. And then she's just like, I'm out, you know, like, cause it, and I do counsel this a lot. So I'm really happy to hear this, that I just don't know if sometimes it's cause I'm older, you know, but I just feel like you don't know the chemistry until you're with someone. You just can't, like, there's just something else that shows up when you're in a room with people. And so in good ways and bad ways, you know, sometimes it can be way better. That's the other thing. Like sometimes in texting, it's not there necessarily. Like I had people say to me, I don't know, it's not that exciting. I'm like, well, how exciting should it be on text? Like, what do you like, go meet them. And then sure enough, like when they meet, they're often like, oh, it was so good. We vibed. There was such good. I'm like, well, there you go. You know, they're, I think that I don't like a lot of texting first or even too many phone. Yeah. I think with distance, sometimes I'll allow that a little longer, you know, but then I'm like, you got to get in the room with the person at some level, even if it's an hour, just to, it's like interviewing for a job only online. You'd want to meet them at some point before
Or it's, I often feel like it's an ego boost. It's like, okay, you just want a little attention from me. And that's really all you want at the end of the day.
Validation.
But when it comes to anything higher than an attention level, you can't meet that, then I'm out. I'm not going to waste my time with it.
I agree. And again, I think it leads to the burnout and to people going, like, to people thinking, oh, you know, I've talked to 40 guys and they're all jerks or whatever. And I'm like, well, how long did you do that? You know, how, and I find out they were in like, you know, weeks and weeks of texting, or they go on one date and then it's just a ton of texting after where there's no.
Oh, no, that's even worse.
Yeah,
that's even worse.
I agree. And I was like, this isn't good. This isn't that you're not, you know, he or she should be really active. You know, it should still be, the energy should keep going up, especially in the beginning, not like spike and then go back down. I don't think. Right.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's interesting to keep bringing up age because I'm like, I feel like I see this everywhere across the board.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, whatever stage you are in life, that I feel like in general, I feel like men do like to keep a gray area with people. They like having an option around. And women are very like, we just want to know where we stand.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So with this, like talking, especially the, oh, someone's just texted me after we went on a date.
Yeah.
I mean, I cut to the chase. I'm like,
yeah, let's go.
Okay. You know, I'll lie. I'll be like, well, I have to go, you know, let me know if you want to go out again. And if they keep not answering and all I get are vague answers are a no.
Yep.
Vague answers are a waste of my time. And I feel like the quicker we learn that, the better. And often we don't learn it until we have a man who is interested in us or person who is interested in us. And it's like, so clear. It's so clear. You don't have to think or debate it at all.
Yep.
And all he's doing is being like, so when can I see you again?
Yep. Oh, I love it. I love it.
Most basic
I don't think it's a numbers game. I say this all the time. Because I think when you think, so the more I got to do more and more and more, I'm like, maybe don't, you know, again, I think you get fatigue. We know from psychology, it's so funny that, you know, when you're selling something to someone, this is my business background too with my psychology, but we know that when you're selling something to someone, if you have too many choices, people buy nothing.
Yeah, paradox of choice.
Right. So we know that. So we know, so I apply it here. And this is again, where I feel like people get burnt out. They get fatigued from the apps. And so I definitely want to hear your best tools for this because I get that it's a numbers to a point, but I think sometimes people like, you know, it's, I think we should be screening in, not out. You know, like, I feel like it should look the other way. Like, what do you want to screen in? Not like out, or like talking. I think there has to be like an opposite way to look at it. But anyway, so what do you think? Like, is it a numbers game? Is it not? Like, what, how do you balance that?
I mean, I think at the end of the day, it is just by definition, because it just, you just have to meet people in order to meet someone. Like you can't meet one person if you don't meet one person.
Right.
But I also think that that extended talking of getting overly invested in people that you either haven't met yet or you've met one so you don't know very well leads to a lot more burnout because you're attaching yourself to all of these people. And now you're like, oh, well, I was having 20 dating app conversations and they didn't lead to any dates. But the only reason you remember that you were having that many dating app conversations is because you talked to all 20 of those people at length. Wow. Whereas like, I probably have had 20 dating app conversations in the last few weeks. I could off the top of my head think of like two of them because most of them were just me sending an opener, them not really responding and me being like, all right, you're not worth my time.
Right. Oh, that's so good. Erica, what about you?
I do think this one depends on the person a little bit. Like I currently am in a fatigue mode right now and I wasn't even going on a lot of dates, but I was set.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hang up a lot of dates or trying to. So I think it's a nice balance. And I think that's why I've started reincorporating like a phone call type screening. And the point of that for me more is being like, okay, are you actually looking to really get to know someone? And like, that's such a small entry fee. Into my life and meeting me is just like, can we just talk on the phone for a second? Can I just see if we vibe? Because unfortunately, you know, you can be burned by some bad dates and it's the bad dates that make you tired. And as much as we're giving dating app advice, I do think it's often hard to really filter those because it is a digital world versus in person.
Yeah.
So like, I don't say that to discourage people, but I think it's a combo and it's more finding your sweet spot. And I have had friends that were like, 2 dates a week consistently and went on 100 dates and eventually met their person. And I've had other friends be like, I don't know, I was on there, not that much, being a little fussy. I went on 3 dates and like, oh, I really liked this one guy. Yep. So I think this is a moment you got to maybe just look at what are you doing right now? Mm-hmm. What do you think you should change or what would you like to change? So if the answer is no dates to some dates, okay, maybe leave one night open a week that you go, all right, let me try to go on a date this one night and see how that makes you feel. See if that makes you tired, if that makes you feel energized. Like, you got to read the vibe on yourself a little bit.
Also, like, none of these decisions are irrevocable. Like, if you decide, you know what, I'm going to try going on more dates, more first dates. I'm going to try doing it. I'm going to swipe on more people. I'm going to, you know, open my filters up a little bit, get more people into the funnel, go on more dates. And then you do that for a little bit and you realize, whoa, not a good idea. I'm very burned out. I didn't like that. Then you just stop doing it.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? We make these decisions and we think that, right, that we're like making them forever and it does not, right. You can change your mind and you can do it differently. And what do you think about being, well, I have two questions from that. One is how many apps, quote unquote, should you be on? And also what about the parameters? Like how do you, maybe open them up more or how do you think that through?
I don't know if there's like a number that you should be on per se. I would say if you're not on any right now, I would not recommend going on more than one to start because that is a really good way to burn yourself out.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And personally, I find that I can't really maintain more than two in a way that doesn't end up feeling really bad. I have 4 or 5 on my phone, but I can't consistently maintain more than two without feeling overwhelmed.
Okay.
But that's just what works for me. So like similarly experiment, you know, try one, see how that goes. If you're like feeling good and feeling like you want to maybe expand your pool a little bit, incorporate a second one, see how that feels.
Okay. And Erica, for you?
Yeah. Well, I think the big truth is usually you will see a lot of people the same on either app.
Oh.
So it's kind of like, I agree that I think one versus two, I don't think is a huge difference. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest difference, like Bumble, I find to be a very like immediate because they have time limits on when people can respond. So some people think that's great. Some people think that's like the one thing they would change, where it's kind of this sense of urgency and that maybe might cause you anxiety or whatever. Mm-hmm. So if you don't like the idea of that, and also women essentially have to open the conversation, then I would direct you maybe more towards a Hinge or a Tinder or some mm-hmm. other form. Okay. The interesting thing about your funnel question, I think this is something a lot of people are annoyed with dating apps, no matter which one you use, is it's like you have to pay to be able to have a better funnel or filtering system, per se. Mm-hmm. And it used to be like they would let you have one filter for free, and now it's you have to pay for anything. So whether it's you're doing height, you're doing religion, you're doing do they want kids, you're doing what are you looking for, all those things are to pay for, which is annoying. But when I pay for them, I justify it to myself like, okay, this is basically what a monthly gym membership would cost. Usually it's like $35 mm-hmm. a month. And you say, okay, would I pay a month of a gym to mm-hmm. go on some more dates or maybe meet some people that are more aligned with my values? And I'd say in terms of what I changed, something recently I've tried, and this probably is for a lot of people that are maybe in cities, we're very lazy about our mile radius. Mm-hmm. We're like, oh, I want to meet the love of my life, but oh my God, if I have to drive 40 minutes to go on a date, hell no, right? And so that's a question I'm like, all right, what do you really want? Do you want someone that aligns with whatever values you've set for yourself and you maybe want to be a little pickier with who you match with? I think the best option is to open up your mile radius. And I kind of like that there's a little bit barrier to entry with that, right? Because mm-hmm. you could easily do the phone call then and go, you know, it's pretty far for both of us. You want to hop on the phone? Mm-hmm. See if this be worth both our time. We want to go out. Cool. But the other part, I do think it shows like, hey, if this person is willing to at least meet me halfway, travel a half hour, okay, they're really looking for something. You know, it's less likely to be someone that is just like, and I just want to meet real quick on the fly. And like, I don't know, I'm just looking to be like, maybe they're cute. Maybe I'll get lucky or some kind of fast mindset like that, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny, I will say that I had a very large radius both times for dating when I used the paper and then an app. So Gary lived, he lived like 45 minutes from me. But I didn't care. Again, I was looking for a certain kind of, you know, so I did, I opened up. I was like, what's the big deal if we drive a bit? But I know from having lived in New York City for so long that, you know, I would often like, I wouldn't even go out of the borough, you know, let alone.
Yeah. Well, because the time is so different because I'm thinking about like, if I raised my mile radius to 20 miles,
oh my
I'm
God.
Talking an hour and a half.
Yeah, like, exactly.
One way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where am I going to be? But I
agree on the mile radius in general, right? though. It just, and what that number is, I think just depends on your setting.
Yes. I agree too. I think it's really that kind of stuff, though. I think is an easy way to open your mind without, you know, and sort of branch out, so to speak, without getting too crazy. And I think most people listening are not living in such tight cities like New York City. So I do think there's, you know, it's so specific. It is, you know, I do think that there's, you know, more radius is good. I think that more radius can be really good to cast your net a little wider. Okay.
On that note, I think the other thing I would add about filters, so like Erica was saying, now most dating apps you have to pay to filter on pretty mm-hmm. much anything. And something that I think not a lot of people think about that is important to note is if you filter on something, you're not going to see people that didn't fill out that thing. So like, let's say you aren't sure about kids, for example. And so you're filtering out people who say want kids. You're filtering on people who said like not sure or don't want, whatever it is. You're not going to see people who left it blank, who like didn't fill out that thing.
Oh.
And so sometimes that's a good thing. Like, let's say you're really, really wanting to date somebody who is your same religion and you want somebody who is dedicated to that faith. That person probably filled it out.
Yeah.
Like if they're really involved mm-hmm. in their faith, they probably wrote it on their dating app profile. So now you're like, okay, great. That's actually a good thing.
Yep.
I don't want to see people who left it blank, but there are some examples where that isn't true. And I think that gets lost a little bit sometimes.
Oh, such a good little tip. Oh my gosh. So really think about even the filters in that new way. I love it. I love it. It's great. So what else would you, do you think is, when you're setting up your profile, is there anything else we haven't covered that feels so important when you're, I feel like we did, but I just want to check. Is there anything else you usually say?
The only other thing that comes to mind is look at your profile like you are someone else looking at it and say, what would I ask me about this? Like if I were the person reviewing my profile, getting ready to message, be like, oh, this girl's cute. I like her profile. What am I going to say to her? Are there things that are easy? Do you have low-hanging fruit, as we say in the corporate world, that they could very easily say, oh, I'm going to ask her about the wine. Mm. Or I'm going to ask her about that hiking photo. Like, are there things that are so easy to pick out from your profile for someone to message you about?
Oh, it's so nice.
Because that's frustrating when you see a profile where you're like, I don't know what to say to this person.
Mm-hmm. I have no idea. I think it's so important. It's true to have really clear, like who you are. Yeah. To really, you know, be clear so that you're having a better chance of truly matching up at least with someone who's interested in whatever it is that you're so clear about. You know, if you love apple picking, write it down. I don't know, because it doesn't mean someone also likes to apple pick, but they might find it interesting to talk to you about like, what is so, you put it on your profile. What is so cool about that to you? And I do know in the beginning, Gary and I did talk a lot about his races. I was like, what attracts you? Like, I can't imagine. I get sweaty, you know, leaving my apartment. Like what attracts you to that? And so we really had great conversations. And I did, my listeners know, I ended up getting very, you know, I'd go and fill the tub with ice for after the race. And I would go, I just didn't go sit there and stare at the racetrack for, you know, can't even see the people anyway. but I would go support. You know, I did a lot of supporting for many years. So, thank God that's died down, but, we're getting old, so it's helpful. But, you know, I think that I always say like, I'm a Gary fan, not necessarily a fan of the thing, you know, like whatever that
I
is.
I love that.
Like I'm a real foodie. Gary eats like five things. He could care less about food. He would just assume have a pill every day. And everyone who listens know, I talk about food all the time, like eating it, talking about it. I want to know what you ate. I want to talk about what I ate. I want to plan our meal tomorrow. I want to cook it. It's pathetic. It's a passion. And he really doesn't care. But if we're in a city somewhere, he'll like, let's go wherever you want to go. And I'll sit, even if it's not something he would eat. He'll have a drink while I eat or something. He still supports that thing I have, you know, and I think that's mm-hmm. the thing you have to think about is this something, obviously if he was into dog fighting, that would have been a hard no, you know, like for me.
Yeah. You can't support that.
I'm not going to support that in any way, you know, but most other things I think we can. Okay. That's so helpful. So the other thing I get asked a lot is people get, they check all the time. Like they end up constantly on the app all the time. Like it's, you know, all the dopamine hits and who's interested and what's happening. So that's probably the biggest next question I get asked. What's your advice, tips for both of you for that?
Well, the thing is, you're typically never going to really run out of people, right? Like, so you can take your time. And I know a lot of people will do maybe a maximum number of matches at a time or a maximum number of swipes at a time, because the swiping can be addicting. So I've known someone that does, I believe it's like at most 10 matches at one time. And that's even a lot. I know some other people that do like five, where you, if you're swiping or you're liking whatever method, you look in your queue, you go, I have 5 matches. Great. Let me message all these 5 people. Let me try to see the conversations with these 5 people, see if any of them turn into more, intrigue me. See how that rides out before I go back to the pool of the swiping and the matching and the looking at everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think that can help a little bit with fatigue as well, because sometimes to your detriment, you'll have more matches. And it's not that some of these people are bad people, but you can easily get lost in the shuffle trying to keep up several different conversations. So that'd be my one tip I would share probably.
I totally agree. And maybe you matched with somebody amazing, but they were match number 21 and you were so burned out on all these other conversations you were having. And so you never messaged them, or they got back to you and you sent them something boring. Like you weren't invested in the conversation because you were burned out. And so now you're not bringing your best self to the situation and kind of shooting yourself in the foot.
Oh, it's so good. So like I have usually counseled, I'll say things like, you know, only look twice a day or once a day, like really like even delete it off your phone if you have to during the day and then download it again. Or am I being helpful when I say that? I just find people get so addicted to them. Is there other tricks to just like, do you have to do that? I mean, just set up times?
I tend to naturally do that because it's like, when am I most likely to have the time to sit and chat with anybody, even a friend? Mm-hmm. If I'm to have a phone call with a friend, what is it? Usually a Sunday night, maybe, or a weekend morning, or nighttime during the week. So a lot of times it's more like, yeah, people have lives. So if you were having anxiety about like, well, they didn't message me back yet. It's like, listen, it happens. Okay. It happens. I think the checking it like twice a day is more than enough. Mm-hmm. And if anything, I try to check it and be on it when I do have a few minutes to be on. So I'm also not quick check, send a message, doing something else for 3 hours. Mm-hmm. Then I come back and I'm like, oh, you know, like have it be at a time. That's like, all right, I'm sitting on my couch. I'm watching a show. I could pause it, reply to a couple messages, hit play. Commercial comes on, reply again, like something where it kind of fits in your life naturally, I think also just makes it feel a little better where you're like, oh, I have a little downtime. Let me browse. It's almost like, I hate to say this, but it is almost like online shopping. Like you're sitting there and you're just, you know, let me browse. Let me see what tops. Okay. Maybe a skirt. I don't know. You know, like, but when you really have time to sit and look, like I wouldn't rush to make this online purchase in 2 seconds. I would look, I would see the description. I'd take my time. I'd think, I'd use my brain, you know, like kind of think of it like that, even though people might not like, I just said online dating is like shopping, but you
know, I think it's brilliant. It's a little bit.
I think there are parallels.
Yeah.
It's a little bit, you know,
something that helps me to not, I want to be in control of when I'm going to the app and not the other way around. Mm-hmm. So for me, I have my notifications turned off, meaning not only do I not get push notifications, but I also don't see the little red one. If you're an iPhone user, I don't see the little red one that lets me know that I have a message or a new match or whatever it is. And all of my apps are on the furthest page of my homepage that I only go to. They're the only things that are there.
Love
so it. I don't come across them in my general use of my phone. I don't see that I have a notification. It's not pushing it to me. And I could more do what Erica's saying is like choose times that make sense for me to be on the app and not like get this push to do it.
Oh, so good. I just love that. I think it's such a simple, we call that in psychology, it's called nudge theory, where you just sort of nudge something somewhere so you can make it easier to do or not do. I really love
it.
It
was
that.
My therapist's idea, so that makes sense.
Oh, see? We, you know, we have the thing. behind it. Yeah, yeah. What were you going to say, Erica?
No, the one other thing that Allie and I both say, too, is like, don't be on the app if you can't go on a date sooner than
yes.
later. You know, because that's the other thing. I think that's something where we all shoot ourselves in the foot a little bit, that it's like, maybe I'm just bored while I'm traveling, and it's like, but why am I on this dating app talking to these people who then go, are you free for a drink, you know, this week? And I go, like, no, I'm out of town. It's like, then why are you on this? You know what I mean? Like, do it when you do have time in your life to date. If you don't have time for a while, it's perfectly fine to just take a little break and maybe not check it for a while.
And that's going to end up leading to those talking things that we were saying, because it's like, if you can't go on a date for 2 weeks, but you matched with somebody and you scheduled a date and now you're talking to them and it's just going to turn into those things we were talking about earlier.
Oh, it's so good. I also tell people to never do it right before you're going to sleep. You know, people sit in bed, right? And they're like doom scrolling and doing whatever. And I really ask people not to be doing that at all in bed, but I think this is especially bad because, you know, you've used your willpower up all day. It's like sitting in bed with a plate of brownies. I mean, I just think it's crazy to think I'm not going to have some, even though I brush my teeth. like it's just, I think having these things where it's away, or maybe don't keep your phone next to your bed if you're really hooked and really having a hard time. I just deal with a lot of people who are really like addicted to that. They get sort of that dopamine surge and they can't seem to stop checking. So, but I love these hints. I think these are perfect tips.
On that note, can I say one other thing too?
Please.
One thing that I also really caution people against is checking the profile of the person that you were going out with or the person that you have been out with, which is something that I think we also get into like an anxious spiral about of like, you know, oh, let me just check his profile to see if anything's changed. Oh, he's updating his profile. Like, does that mean he didn't like our date? Or his location, he's in travel mode. Why is he trying to date in LA? Like, you know, or he like or he was active today, because on Hinge now you can see when someone was active. If, mm-hmm. I think only if you pay for it, but he was active today, but he hasn't messaged me back. Like those types of things, they can spiral. And so, and I say this from personal experience. So what I do now is I screenshot the profile of a guy that I'm going to go on a date with. And I only look at that. And I never go back, never, but I try not to go back to his live profile. So if a friend wants to see a picture, if I want to, you know, hey, let me remember what he said so that I could talk to him about it on the date, I'm going to like a static thing and not something that is going to give me any new information that I might not like.
Oh, that's so good. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. That's great. And I know we have to end soon, but I want to ask one. The other question I get asked a lot is, when should someone stop being on an app? Like how many dates in, you know, what does that look like? And I always think it's up to them, but what are the normal quote unquote, how does that work?
I mean, I see it as you're on the market until you're off the market. So for me personally, it would be a conversation with the person I was seeing about, you know, hey, I only want to see you. Like, I'm not interested in seeing other people. Where are you at? Because I feel like making those decisions without, I don't know, kind of having a conversation about where you stand and whatever relationship it is that you're pursuing is unfair to them. And it's also unfair to you.
Yep.
Yep. So I think it's a conversation and what feels good for you. But, you know, this kind of plays into what Allie just said of the like, we've all been seeing someone a few dates and we're excited and we're not really even inclined to check the app. We're not even thinking about it. And then we do. And we go look at their profile. Oh, and things have changed. Oh, a picture is updated. And essentially that tells us, oh, they're probably still out here meeting other people, which is not wrong for them to be doing. Mm-hmm. So I can't be mad that they're doing that. But it's like, what's the answer? Communicate. Right. Maybe you're at a point that they're not at. So yeah. I feel like removing it without some conversation with somebody, whether it's, you know, a positive one, you're both just like, this is great. I'm enjoying hanging out with you. I don't really want to see other people. Let's see if we have legs to take it farther. I'm going to delete this app. Great. Or sometimes it's a revealing conversation that you're like, oh, this person maybe isn't looking for what I'm looking for or isn't there yet. And then, you know, it's up to you to decide how you want to proceed at that point.
Okay.
Yeah. I think this is another one of those things where it would be a lot easier if there was one answer. It would be so much easier if it was like, go on 6 dates with someone. And then at that point, you will know. That would be so much easier. The reality is that it's different in so many different situations and for different people. And even for the same person, like I have wanted to be exclusive with someone at date 4, date 8, date, like it hasn't always happened at the same time for a variety of reasons, like time, you know, there could be some dates that are longer. Maybe you had a long time in between dates. Like there's so many variables. I think it comes down to what Erica said of just communicating.
Oh, I love it. You know, and I think that's really, if there's an end note, I think it's really about that. Don't be afraid to communicate what you want or need. I think too many people, I don't know, are trying to be too nice or they're so afraid that nothing, it's not going to work otherwise.
Yeah.
What is that? Let's end with that. Like what stops us from just saying the truth, like communicating what we want to need? What's the problem there?
Sometimes I just feel like there's like new slang that tricks us in a way and makes things more complicated. And specifically, I'm thinking of, you know, with this conversation, like the whole exclusivity talk, and a lot of people that are a little more old school, and I find myself being a little more old school, is like exclusive. It's like, are you my boyfriend or are you not my boyfriend? What does exclusive land mean? Right. And so what I've learned when I get terms like that I think are bullshit and I don't agree with, I ask the person to explain to me what that is. I'm not going to explain it for them. I'm not going to justify it for them. I'm like, this is your word. What do you mean by that? What does exclusive mean to you? A lot of times if they give you an answer that, again, is vague and unclear, it's like, okay, that's not what I want. I don't want a vague unclearness. You know, and I've learned from being in exclusive phases, quote unquote, with, you know, multiple people. And I did it and I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it. And walking away from those, I learned, yeah, that's not for me. Are we at the point that you're not going to see other people? I'm not seeing other people. we're together or we're not together. Either I'm a free bird or we're together. Like, I don't like this kind of exclusive bullshit land. And that's just Mace for that.
And I think to answer your question about the, like, why don't we directly communicate? I think people are just either afraid of rejection. So they're afraid to say, hey, this is what I want, because they're afraid that the other person isn't going to want that thing. Mm-hmm. When in reality, saying it doesn't change that the other person doesn't want it.
Wait, say that again, because this, I say this all the time and I think people miss it. Say that again.
So like, asking the question or saying the thing that you want does not change their answer. Like, if they don't want to date you, or like Erica said, if this person doesn't want to be your boyfriend, doesn't want to be in a relationship with you, you telling them that you want to be is not changing that fact.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All it's doing is actually letting you know that they don't want to, when you might have gone in the dark for who knows how long.
Yep.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how much I say this. It's like, that's the point. And what, but there's, I think again, and I think this is, I have men do this too, but it's mostly women. There's like a magical thinking that if I just get him long enough, so yes, he's saying no now, but after a few more dates, he's really going to know, and he's going to fall in love, and then he's going to say, yeah. So, because what I know, I say it's no. And, but I talk to people and they think, or if the guy ghosts or does whatever he does, I get, I just shouldn't have said this, or I should have waited to say that, or I should. And I was like, no, that is not the, and guys, you both agree. It sounds like wholeheartedly.
Yeah. Someone's not going to treat you poorly because you communicated directly. They're going to treat you poorly because they suck.
Because that's who they are.
Yeah. Or you're not scary or intimidating to these people because you did this thing.
Right.
I feel like that's a common thought in women's head. Yep. Like, ooh, if I initiate this conversation or I say exactly what I want, I'm intimidating. I'm masculine energy. No. It doesn't matter. It absolutely doesn't matter. It's like, you have to take what people say as the truth. And so the bullshit, like, oh, I'm not ready for a relationship right now, means with you. And unfortunately means with you. And we've all had that line. And you think what you just said, oh, but if I keep hanging around, if they just see how great I am, they don't see how great you are. As unfortunate as it is, they don't. And it's very frustrating. But the power really comes in not only communicating directly what you want, but then sticking to your guns and leaving those situations.
Yeah, walking away from what you don't want.
Yeah, or you'll say like, are you my boyfriend? You know, to me, like, we're at that point. And they say, well, I'm not at that point. And now the decision is, are you going to hang around? Or are you going to say, all right, well, you know, I feel like we're at that point. We're dating a couple months, like, you know me. I know you well enough to know that I would commit on a basic level. You're not there. Okay. I'm going to go and be back out there and stick to it. And I think that's the second part is even harder. It's already hard to communicate what you want. It's intimidating. It's, you know, you're putting yourself up to essentially be rejected. Mm-hmm. But then when you are, it's amazing to me that then we'll stick around.
Yep.
Not only did you just reject me, but I'm just going to sit here and continue to be rejected? Why?
Yes.
You know?
And it doesn't get better. It gets worse. Because now the other person knows, oh, I actually don't have to be committed. I've said it. So now I'm really off the hook. And you're still here and having sex with me or going on dates or doing whatever. So great. That feels great. Mm-hmm. And then we get mad at the, let's say it's a guy, you know, oh, he's such an asshole and he was leading me on. It's like, no, he wasn't actually. I wrote a whole book on boundaries called Boundaries Made Easy, because this is your boundary. It is your job at this point to have enough self-esteem. Please do. I love you. I love you. You know, I tell you, I love you all the time, you know, to really go, I don't, and not even that he's an ass, because people say, well, he's just an asshole. It's like, no, he's just not where you are. It's not a declaration that he's bad or you're good. It just, you're here, they're there, and that's it. And you say the thing and then you move on and don't waste any more of your time or theirs. And what I have found, which is so interesting, is I've had a couple women over time who did go, oh, never mind. You know, very, not as a game, but very clearly like, oh, you know what? We're in different places. And one of them is now engaged to the man. He chased her, I think, for another 6 months. Cause she was like, you said, no, I believe you, you know, like it's, I wasn't playing a game. I wasn't trying to get you. Like there was something about her strength that he then found super attractive, which wasn't too shocking on some level, but and they, he had to chase her for a long time though, because she really wasn't. And please don't play a game with this thinking, oh, I'll say no and then I'll come back. Like, don't do that.
Yeah, no.
Really, really
it's
say
a losing
no.
game for you.
It's a losing game because you know, and nowhere should be game be part of relationships, right? Nowhere no. are we keeping score or, you know, playing a game or living in fear. But when we, you know, to me, I want you to walk away feeling good. Feeling intact, feeling clear, even clearer maybe on who you're going to look for next time. And maybe you'll notice some things that have come up earlier. They're not necessarily red flags. They're just, you know, things that you notice that you think, oh, now I know that that's maybe not something I want because that's happened a couple times. Like I think it's a great learning and not something you have to get really upset about, but you have to stick to your guns once you've had the conversation. I can't even talk enough about that. Oh my God. I know we have to end because we've been here for so long and you've been so great. But is there a last thing that you feel like people should know that I haven't said or we haven't said in this conversation that's really important when you're talking about dating well on apps?
I think we've covered the big stuff. I mean, we just talk a lot about being true to who you are and being really comfortable in that and knowing that you're not for everyone and not everyone is for you. And that's a good thing. Like you said earlier about repelling people, like you actually want the wrong people to be turned off by your profile.
Yeah.
If you want to hike with somebody all the time, you don't want somebody who hates that.
Yep. Yep. Anything else, Erica?
I mean, I would like to add that dating apps feel like they're the only way to meet someone right now, but it is not the only way to meet someone.
Very true.
That's so just because you're on it and you're using it, you know, it doesn't have to be 100% of your effort in dating or attempts to just meet new people. And you can find things that aren't even dating event specific that you go, I'm interested in this. Maybe I'll just meet some new friends. And you never know who you could meet through new friends, mm-hmm. new people, yep. and change up some other parts of your life. But the meeting in person still exists, even though dating apps have kind of taken over this space. It feels like, oh, it's the only way.
Right.
It's not the only way. So that's if you so get good. Tired, you can always vary it up, take breaks. But yeah, the best is to just try to come in with a good attitude and meet people and just know we're meeting new people. I'm just here to get information, see, and that's it. And take it from there.
It's a good reminder of the meeting people in person thing, because I think that it doesn't even have to be an either or. Like you can say, hey, you know what? Dating apps aren't for me right now. I'm going to put a pause on that and try to meet people in person. Also, though, I have found that I feel better about dating apps when I am also doing things in person and they like work really well together to make me feel like dating apps aren't the end all be all, because Erica's right. They're not.
Oh, it's so good. That's so good. And I, you know, I always say you have to have high standards and low expectations, and most people have high expectations and low standards. So, you know, really, that's what I want people to hear. But I know you guys talk about that in the pod too, in your pod. So, I'm going to link to everything on the show notes page, everybody, and below the video on YouTube and all that. And if you're listening on YouTube or watching, please subscribe and like. And if you're listening anywhere else, if you haven't left a review yet, what are you waiting for? Oh my gosh. Remember, we're in a relationship and I give, you give. It's a beautiful thing. We do our thing. But I'll list all this on the website, but tell me where they can find you. What are the best places to track you down?
Yeah. So Erica and I co-host a podcast called Finding Mr. Height, the podcast, and you can get it wherever your podcasts are. It comes out every Monday. So Apple, Spotify, et cetera. And you can find me at Finding Mr. Height on Instagram and TikTok.
Yep. Great.
And you can find all my stuff at ericaspira.com. So it's ericaspera.mi. Instagram handle is at Sperica. So perfect. Thank you guys for listening.
Oh my God. Yeah. And we'll link to all that again. But thank you so much for being here. As people listening know, I really don't have guests on. Like, it's so rare, but I just felt like this was not my specialty and I could do all the work in the world, or I could have these amazing women on and have it better for you. So hopefully you guys will come, you both guys, why am I saying guys? You women will come back and we'll do this again and update.
Yeah, we would love that.
Just really keep the conversation going because people have so many questions. And if you have a question now as you're listening and think, oh, they didn't answer this or they didn't answer that, just email me at abby@abbymetcalf.com or, you know, DM me on IG or wherever. You know how to get in touch with me. leave something somewhere, a comment below the YouTube video, any of those, and you can put your question there and I'll make sure that I keep all those in a nice little piece of paper. And then later we'll have these beautiful women back on and we'll have another conversation. Thank you so much for being here.
Amazing. Thanks, Abby.
Yeah. Thanks again for having us. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Relationships Made Easy podcast with wonderful me, Dr. Abby Metcalf. And I've got two quick things to say. Just give me one more minute. First, I love spending this time with you and I work hard to make sure every single episode is going to help you move from any feelings of frustration or resentment or anxiety to that connected, hopeful confidence. That's always my goal. So if you have any ideas for a future episode or just want to say hi, let me know what the podcast is doing for you. Anything. You can email me at abby@abbymetcalf.com. How simple is that? And the second thing I want to say is if you like the podcast, you're going to go crazy, crazy for my book. My book is really good. I'm really proud of it. You can find it on Amazon or on my website under the shop section on my website at abbymetcalf.com. It's called Be Happily Married, Even If Your Partner Won't Do a Thing. And even if your partner will do a thing, the book will still really help you. So that's it. Thanks again for listening. Talk to you soon.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.